Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Before we talk about the crazy weekend against the Cincinnati Reds, we are running a giveaway over on Twitter at Broads Media, where you have the chance to win a Bryce Harper jersey by retweeting the pinned tweet at the top of the profile and smashing that follow button. Once again, at Broads Media. Also, we are on the road to 20,000 subscribers. So if you are new to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button and also hit that thumbs up button too. I really appreciate all the support. And with that being said, enjoy the show. What is going on, everyone? Welcome on into Sports Talk with Broads. Well, they went 2-4 in their last six, and that's basically what I anticipated, so it's not like I'm shocked. It's not like I am confused on why this happened. It's more about, okay, you kept your head above water, and now let's go. Let's take advantage of the Arizona Diamondbacks. By no means, after those eight games, did I expect this squad to just be the greatest team on earth. But what I expected, and what I still expect, is for them to take care of business against the teams that they are supposed to take care of business against. And that's what we are about to witness as they enter the Arizona Diamondback Series on Tuesday after a day off on Monday. Now, there's so much to dive into with these latest two games, right? You had the Matt Moore, Joe Girardi no-hitter debacle, and you also had Aaron Nola. And where I want to begin is specifically Aaron Nola first. It's the freshest, and I'm the most emotional about it. He got destroyed with two strikes. You cannot allow that to happen. First off, India at the plate on an 0-2 count. You leave a fastball over the middle. I mean, your fastball command is that egregious where it gets peppered in the middle of the zone and India cruises a pitch over the wall on an 0-2 count. That is totally not acceptable. And then we fast forward to the third inning, which this just made me sick. 1-2 count to Sonny Gray. Pokes it up the middle. 1-2 count to India. Gets a hit. Now, there was an 0-1 pitch to Winker, who should have been able to annihilate this pitch over the wall, but luckily for Aaron Nola, he popped it up to right around the warning track power to Bryce Harper over in right field. The pitch was extremely hittable, though, and on any given day, that thing could have been crushed way farther than what it was. I'm not really looking at the actual result with that pitch. I'm more looking at the fact that that pitch gets killed. That pitch gets destroyed by a lot of hitters in this league. They missed it. There's no doubt about it that Winker ended up missing that pitch. It was a good cut, and it was a good swing, and it was a good pitch to hit. So for just dissecting the Aaron Nola angle to that third inning, that's an at-bat that might not be discussed as much as it should because of all the other problems that happened with two strikes on him in that inning. That was only an 0-1 count. But then we go to Akiyama with the 1-2 count on him. So 1-2 count, 1-2 count, 1-2 count. What are we doing here? We're fooling around and we're starting to try and get cute and fancy. Why? Because there's no command with his fastball. It all stems from a simple damn fastball. If you don't have command of your fastball, good luck. I talked to Ricky Bowe about a week ago and he laid it out pretty simply for me. He believes that hitters are up there just waiting for off-speed pitches because they don't have to worry about Aaron Nola's fastball. That's reality of the situation. And you can make the argument, and we saw it late, and I'll get to the Connor Brogdon stuff because it was embarrassing that that was called a ball when it was clearly in the strike zone. But prior to that situation, it was a very friendly strike zone for Aaron Nola to the point where Castellanos ends up getting kicked out of the game super early for getting in the face of the blue. Now, I got a lot of problems with that. I'm not here to watch you behind the plate, sir. I'm here to watch a Reds team, a good Reds team, compete against a Philadelphia Philly squad at Citizens Bank Park. Unless he said the unthinkable. Unless he said something so disturbing and so flat-out disgraceful, which I can't imagine that happening, there's no reason to throw him out of the game that early. Now, I didn't see anything or hear anything or hear anyone on the Reds side speak, so maybe I'm missing something, but just going off the look of it here, Castellanos has enough of a track record in this league that to demand some respect, and I thought that that was absurd, even though they had a case. I mean, let's be realistic. Some of those pitches are off the plate. They absolutely had a case to be all upset. To kick him out, though, that early, it's a joke. It really is. So Aaron Nola went 4 1/3, 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 Ks. All 6 hits, 2 strikes. You want to get on JT Realmuto for some of the pitch selections? Fine. Absolutely fine. But there's also an element here where Aaron Nola has the power to shake things off. Aaron Nola has the power to say, no, 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 no. I want to go here. I sense, as much as we want to rip apart JT because it's an easy target, he's calling the game based off of the way that Aaron Nola feels about his own pitches. If Aaron Nola's feeling fine, then we're probably not even having this discussion. Although, the pitch to India on that 0-2 count, fastball, 0-2 fastball, if he actually throws it to where it's supposed to be, maybe we don't criticize it as much. We're criticizing why throw a fastball because it was a meatball. If it's pinned on the outside part of the plate and we see India get rung up, we're talking about a beautiful pitch and a beautiful sequence and a great call by JT Realmuto. So it's hard to really analyze it when it's going nowhere near where it's supposed to go. Where it looks like it's outside and bang, right before you know it, there's enough movement on it. It hits the outside corner, it nicks it, and bang, you're walking back to the dugout with the strikeout. So it's just crazy to think about how that third inning played out in the fourth inning. 0-2 count, hit. Then we're going down the road of getting hit by a pitch. I thought maybe that fourth inning, though, would be a turning point. Why? 6-4-3 double play by Didi Gregorius. Ends the run right there. 3-0. It was 3-0 after the third. Fourth inning, you got bases loaded, which is scary, but you get out of the jam. Pop fly to right field area. Caught. Double play, 6-4-3. And Didi Gregorius, I want to give him a lot of credit for the turnaround defensively, which I knew was going to happen because he was not as embarrassing as we've seen. There's a better brand of Didi Gregorius defensively. But then what ends up happening late is he tries to be too cute. He tries to get too fancy. He's doing a spinorama and throwing the ball at the same time, which failed miserably. And, well, you know, that's the sloppy baseball that we are accustomed to seeing with the Phils, as well as Alec Boehm over at first base that can't even catch a simple play when he's trying to tag on the pickoff play. Alec Boehm can't play. And I wanted to give him praise because he actually, believe it or not, he actually squared up the baseball and pulled it. It was an extra base hit. Whoa, hold on. Alec Boehm? You tell me Alec Boehm? And then, well, what do you see? You see nonsense over at first. So he can't play third. He can't play first. What can he do? It's ridiculous. He's unplayable is what it is. Unplayable. Just insane. Anyway, with that fourth inning, after that 6-4-3 double play, the Phils start off the bottom of the fourth with a JT Realmuto triple. Knocks in a run. Now it's 3-1. You're playing with some fire here. Here we go. There's some heat to this offense that has been struggling as of late. Well, that's all you can really do. And then in the fifth, I thought the fifth inning was pretty big for the Phils as well because it kept them involved even though it was a bit of a disaster. So Aaron Nola gets himself into trouble again. You ready for this one? India, 2-strike hit. No fastballs thrown at that point. Change up, utilizing the changeup. Well, guess what? They're going to sit on that and they're going to rope it. And that's what happened. Bases loaded. Falter comes in and limits it to 1 run. It could have been significantly worse. It could have been way worse. But you limit it to 1 run. And that's so big because in the fifth inning, the Phils had some runs going on. They loaded up the bases on Sonny Gray. Bryce Harper, amazing at bat. Full count, works a walk, special. It would have been nice, though, to see him crucify one for real and let one rip. That would have been a masterful moment and another special moment added to the Bryce Harper highlight film of 2021. Worked an amazing at bat. That's as professional can get. You score a run because of that walk. That made the score 4-3, though. What ended up happening from there? Well, yeah. Connor Brogdon gets hosed. Red score some runs. Then from there, you basically, you didn't have enough, for sure. Hector Neris allowed a home run. That was a bomb. So things got ugly, right? Did the umpire turn the game around? No doubt about it. Is it frustrating? No doubt about it. I was watching that game, and I thought to myself, especially 6th, 7th, 8th inning or so, I don't know why. I feel they're just going to snag this victory. They have no right to win. They really don't deserve to win. It felt as if it was going to be a game where they win, and it's not deserved. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. This is a close race. It clearly does not matter how you win. Just win some baseball games. And if you won this series, it would have been fantastic, considering 2-4 was basically what I expected to see. Well, there was an at-bat late where Gene Segura had an opportunity. Men on 2nd and 3rd. And think about if Segura got on, you're talking your top dogs getting ready to rock after Gene Segura, right? You're talking about the meat and potatoes of your lineup, even without Rhys Hoskins. You're talking about the top dogs. Well, that really hurt. That really stung. And that basically killed a lot of the momentum that was there. Not that there was a lot of momentum there. If there was any to grab, it was that. For sure, with a couple guys on and two outs in scoring position. Could have gave you that buzz, could have gave you that jolt, but unfortunately that was not the case. So it's extremely disappointing, especially with Aaron Nola and the Dodgers' performance. 4 innings pitched, 7 Ks, and 0 walked batters. You were hoping that maybe, even though the rain delay and Mother Nature snagged that epic performance from Aaron Nola his last time around, you would think that maybe there would be some building off of what he did, and utilizing the word momentum that I just talked about for that at-bat by Gene Segura and the Phils, Aaron Nola struggling to grab any sort of momentum based off of when he's doing solid. When he does something good, it's normally something just afterwards. Well, how is that the case? And I will admit, I am not going to say that Aaron Nola stinks, he sucks, he's the worst, he's the worst pitcher ever. He's not a bum. Aaron Nola is not a bum. This year, it's been so damn underwhelming. That is so easy to say. And it's real. He's been underwhelming. There's a repertoire in Aaron Nola that is very capable of being a successful Major League Baseball pitcher. Unfortunately, we might have to wait for the offseason for him to mess with some mechanics, mess with his sequence, his pitch sequence, get back to the fastball command. I mean, he's got to definitely make some adjustments to his game to get back on track, but he has a skill set, even with the low velocity with the fastball that I've always questioned at 92, 93, from a number one perspective, from an ace perspective, I always question that. He might be a 3, okay? Aaron Nola might be more of a 3 than a 1, which would suck, but that doesn't mean he sucks. He's a major league starting rotation pitcher. He has the skill set to be that, and what you watched against the Dodgers will basically show you that he's got it. He's got it in him. How do we get it out of him more consistently in the long run? In the long run. Yeah, I know. I'm hurting, and it sucks. It really does. But Aaron Nola's better than what he's showing. Don't get into the mentality of, he's just the worst. He's not. But clearly this year, he's been off. And there's been moments where he's been off. And what sucks is, I mean, I guess we can relate this to Ben Simmons, even though it's a little different. Ben Simmons fails in the biggest moments. Playoff basketball, 4th quarter, 3 minutes to go, does nothing. Aaron Nola in September, that's when the best Aaron Nola has been hiding. And that can't happen, right? So there's an element to that. I'm not telling you he's the best in the world. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you he's not the worst in the world. There's a middle ground here. He's a 3.50 ERA type of individual for his career in 7 seasons. 3.5 ERA in the middle of your starting rotation is a fine answer. But we got to get that. Right now we're getting more in the 4-plus territory. And it's vomit worthy. So it's in there. I've seen it a lot. I've seen dominance from him a lot, too much. It's in there. I just don't know if you'll see it this year. And if you think about the back run, they're going to need him. Yeah, no doubt, they're going to need an Aaron Nola. I don't know if you're going to get the Aaron Nola. I saw on 97.5 The Fanatic on their website, Dylan McKinnon put up a piece about making the case for Andrew Knapp to be catching for Aaron Nola because of the whole calling the game problem. And I know that's resurfacing once again. I'll say this about that topic. I don't care about Aaron Nola and Andrew Knapp and Andrew Knapp's ability to call games. He blows at hitting. And there's no way in hell I can justify taking JT Realmuto's bat out of the lineup at any point for Andrew Knapp's bat. Whether it's him calling a better game or not, that's not better than the alternative, which is an average game from JT Realmuto or a little bit below average game from JT Realmuto and his hitting. Because his hitting is what's going to help this team. This team's going to thrive. Why? It's not going to be because of dominant pitching. I'll tell you that for free. It's going to be because of the offense. That 8-game winning streak was all because Bryce Harper was on a surge and Rhys Hoskins was on a tear, and hopefully we see him back soon. And Didi Gregorius had some pop to right field. And Gene Segura was continuing to strive with 300 hitting. At the time, Odubel Herrera was providing a nice spark for you too, having multi-hit games in 4 out of 9 games. So all that was your offense. That's how you're going to win. So you can't take away from your offense at any point. You just cannot do that. Before we get to the second game of this series where the Phillies actually won, and I want to hit on Matt Moore getting yanked, I do need to tell you about my friends over at DraftKings. Everyone's favorite time of the year is right around the corner, college football season. And to celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new players in the center of the action with $200 in free bets instantly if you bet $1 or more on any college football game. Take advantage of this limited-time offer right now. You heard right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more on any college football game, no matter what. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now to check out all of the great promotions and daily odds boosts that they are offering. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use promo code BROADS to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any college football game. That's promo code BROADS to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And okay, let's get to Matt Moore, right? So Matt Moore was yanked. 6 innings pitched. No hit baseball. 8 strikeouts. I was on the radio at the time, so I remember watching and then randomly seeing Hector Neris out there. So I had to bring in the producer. I said, yo, Dan Fritz was producing, always does a fantastic job. What the hell happened to Matt Moore? Did I miss something here? And he said, no, he basically just yanked him out of the game because he thought maybe it would be in his best interest to go in another area, to go in another direction. My first thought was, I don't know if I like that, right? Someone's pitching a gem. You give them the responsibility or the opportunity to go out there. Like, that's your responsibility as a manager. Go out there and fight until you give somebody a base. Until you allow a hit, you give Matt Moore a chance. Then we went to a commercial break. And during the commercial break, because that happened right before the break, right? So during the commercials, the more and more I thought about it, I was totally okay with yanking Matt Moore. Here's the thing. I see both sides. Keeping him in, I would have been okay. I would have accepted it, and I would have understood. Moving on from a guy who's close to 7 ERA to go to your bullpen that has been solidified into a nice rhythm with Hector Neris, with Archie Bradley, with Ian Kennedy, also is okay with me. And guess what? They did the job. They did the job just fine. Did Archie Bradley allow a one-run home run, a solo shot home run? Yes, he did. But that wasn't even close to hurting the team. That wasn't even close to breaking the game wide open. Joe Girardi pushed all the right buttons. And when he did bat Matt Moore in that bottom of the sixth inning, before he was no longer in the game, they used a sacrifice bunt that moved a runner from first to second. And that runner came around to score such a big run. So Joe, electing to keep him in there, save some of the bench, bunt the baseball, using Matt Moore, also was the right button to push. I saw nothing wrong. The game was executed perfectly. Matt Moore is not a stellar pitcher. This is not Zach Wheeler. This is not anybody else. Okay, I was going to say Aaron Nola, but we know we don't feel the same way about him anymore. It's not Zach Wheeler. That's really the only name I can use. Maybe you want to throw Kyle Gibson in there. Fine. But we've seen Joe allow Zach Wheeler to go the distance. We've seen him allow Zach Eflin to go the distance. We've seen him allow Aaron Nola to go the distance. Not allowing Matt Moore to go the distance is not going to eat me alive, and it's not going to piss me off. I had callers call in red hot and fired up in the moment saying, this is Joe just wanting to be the face of the Phillies. He wants to get all the questions afterwards and be the big shot to answer all the questions about that decision. What? What? You think Joe wants to answer more questions? If anything, he wants to do the complete opposite. And then I hear, well, that's not baseball. That's not baseball. Yeah, you're an older gentleman is what you are. You're an older gentleman. The game has changed. He's been in the bullpen, and he's being stretched out as a starter. So you throw 76 pitches when you're accustomed to being more of a reliever right now. You got to work yourself back into the starting rotation with your body. So there's another element to it. It's Matt frickin' Moore, all right? I just don't care if you pull him from a game after six innings, regardless of eight strikeouts or four strikeouts. I don't care. You have all the right in the world to remove Matt Moore, even if he has not allowed a hit, because it's Matt Moore. And ironically enough, here goes a pitcher in San Diego from the Arizona Diamondbacks pitching a no-hitter. And it's his first nod, and he was a part of the Phillies early on in his career. So if he can stay in the game, why can't Matt Moore? That's the argument I saw. Quite frankly, I don't give a damn about the Arizona Diamondbacks, the team that has barely any wins this season. What, 38 wins? Whoop-de-damn-do. I care about the Phillies. Did they get the win? Yup. Was it the best decision for the team to put out a bullpen that, I'm not telling you, is the best in the world, but they have solidified, nice rhythm, and they've been cruising as of late. And they did what they needed to do. They completed the job. They did it just fine. They ended up tacking on more runs there, so it was a bit different. But let's talk about Tereus, huh? Tereus, Ronald Tereus, making plays defensively at the hot corner, also having three hits in that game, a bunt, a home run, doing it all, just being majestic out there. Jankowski, JT Realmuto got in there. Bryce Harper with that triple that he ended up scoring on because no one was paying attention. McCutchen had a home run. Didi with some defensive calls. There was one. I needed to see this game today to really talk more about the Matt Moore thing, though. So, and there's an off day, so that matters. There's an off day on Monday, which would give the bullpen some rest. But if the bullpen was used instead of Matt Moore, and then the bullpen was the reason why you lost game three with Aaron Nola, because Neris, even though he did allow a home run, that wasn't the reason why this team lost the game today. If Neris, Bradley, and Kennedy just blew up insanely today, and they were the reasons why you lost, then you can go back and go, well, did you need to use them? Because we've been through this all the time this year. A lot of bullpen pieces have been unavailable. Well, why? Because you use them in such a weird way. You make them unavailable. You are forcing them to be unavailable. If that was the case, then I would feel differently about it. I needed more context. I needed more data. I needed more information. Now with the off day on Monday, seeing how Sunday played out, there was no correlation with the loss and the usage of the bullpen instead of Matt Moore. No correlation. The loss was because of Aaron Nola. That was the loss. And you can make the argument that late with the call behind the plate with Connor Brogdon was a major spot as well. Obviously. Was it the difference? I don't know. I don't know if the Phillies would have won without that happening. I don't know. Didn't seem to be the Phillies' night, though, even though my gut told me they would squeeze it out. Just didn't feel like their night. All right, so let's get to the Anytime Hotline. I got a couple different games here to roll through. So I guess we'll start with the most recent one. And I don't know how many we're going to get to tonight. But I'll just start here with the reaction to the loss on day three, Sunday afternoon loss, Aaron Nola on the bump. Here we go.
All right, so the Phillies just lost their second series in a row after their eight-game win streak. Obviously disappointing. Aaron Nola has been a colossal disappointment this year. And just to prove that, Nick Pivetta actually has a better ERA than him this year, which I hate to say, but it's a fact. He's just been a colossal disappointment. And Rhys Hoskins really needs to hurry up and come back because nobody wants to pitch to Bryce Harper. No pitcher wants anything to do with him, and they just keep on walking him. So he needs as much protection as possible. Just need to get back on the right track.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I kind of saw that this was going to be the way that it plays out. And you're right. There is some legitimacy to Rhys Hoskins not being there and how much that adds to the value of where this this core is and this depth is with the batting order. I wish that Gene Segura didn't have to bat leadoff. I would love him in the two hole. So then you can have Gene Segura in the two, Bryce at the three, Rhys Hoskins at the four, maybe throw Didi at the five and JT in the six. So you can go righty, lefty. Well, it would really be righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty. You know, you can throw that element in there for sure. If you can find someone who can lead off, if it is Odubel, then it's lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, which would be, you know, something that maybe you're looking for. I just don't love where they're at leading off wise. Maybe you throw Andrew McCutchen back in there, although he's shown some signs of success outside of leading off. But because you're desperate and I don't trust the Odubels and the Jankowskis of the world, you go with a veteran who has done it before, even though he struggled earlier this season. Maybe there's enough of a refresh button that was hit that would give him the nod and the ability to go out there and execute. But yeah, getting back to Rhys Hoskins, it's a big loss for sure. Is it the reason why they lost four games out of six against two really good teams? No, I don't think that's the case, but it absolutely hurts you when he's not there compared to when he is there. No doubt about it, he has 24 home runs on the season. He's hitting 244 or so, and that's definitely some damage that can hurt other teams. The power, the doubles in the gap, and you're right, Bryce Harper, you want to put him on base? Fine, here's Rhys Hoskins right behind him. It's a lot deadlier, and it's a lot more concerning when he's there, no doubt. And I will say, though, with this Red Series, with the Dodgers, especially those first two games, they weren't really involved. But against the Reds, they weren't outclassed. And the Reds are a good team. They're winning over 60 games. Like, they're a strong team in the NL Central, battling a little bit behind the Brewers because the Brewers are winning some baseball games and whatnot. But they weren't outclassed by a good playoff team in the Cincinnati Reds. They're in the mix for a solid playoff possibility, this Reds team. I don't think the Phillies were outclassed. You look at what happened late, and it turned into a disaster because of a really big blown call. And I don't know, like I said, if that would have been the difference in winning of the game or not, but the Phillies were in this series with the Reds. And I knew once they lost the game with Wheeler, they were going to win the game against with Matt Moore, because that's just bizarre and weird and describes Philly baseball. It's crazy because in years past, you tell me you got Wheeler and you got Nola both going in a series. You basically have your two wins right there. Well, those were the two games you lost in this damn series. Crazy.
Tough loss on Sunday for the Phils. You know, I'm not too worried. I saw somewhere it's like eight of the next 28 games are going to be against teams that are above 500. So it is what it is. The problem I have, first of all, I don't know what Sean Barber was seeing. I really don't. Maybe he should have taken the shades off. I kind of thought something would change when when that ball hit the backstop, skip back, hit him in the head. Thought it would maybe knock some sense into him, but just tough to watch. Aaron Nola can't finish anything. Awful. And then, of course, Herrera, he's got to be running. Doesn't matter. Just has to run. Cannot, you know, it's laziness, and that'll cost you games. Alec Boehm, not catching a ball that literally, hell, I could stand there at first base and catch a pickoff throw to the chest.
I know, it's so crazy to think about where Alec Boehm has been. He's lost it. I mean, he's just so defeated mentally on the defensive side of the diamond that he can't do anything right. The most simple basic plays in baseball, he can't catch a pickoff play and apply a tag to a runner. That's what he cannot do. He can't. We're not even talking about a simple ground ball, which in its own right should be done blindfolded. That's right, blindfolded. Yet he can't catch a baseball and swipe a tag down without having to chase the ball the other way. And you can see it in his face. He's got nothing. And you will not continue to play. You lost your job to Ronald Torres. And I never thought in a billion years that the Phillies would actually pull the plug on him. But sometimes you tie your hands behind your back is what it is. You forced that to happen. You forced Joe Girardi to make that decision. And if we ever talk about a playoff series, not to get too far ahead of myself, I wonder if Aaron Nola forced this organization to go Gibson and possibly even Suarez in front of him in a game. I never thought in a billion years they ever would. You always thought it would be Wheeler-Nola, if not Nola-Wheeler, even in let's say, last year's perspective. But now it's, is he a four or is he a three in a starting rotation if you're talking about a playoff series? And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I'll go back to saying this. You have to be able to handle the emotions. During that 8-game run, it was clear that they were going to lose some games and tougher opponents were on the way. One of the reasons why we think they can win the division is bad, even though the Braves are winning some baseball games, and because your schedule was pathetic. And I had a caller today, I remember, it was Lance from Arizona, and he was not happy at all and said he doesn't trust this team at all. He's been watching them for 3 years, and all he's seen is underachieving to bad teams, whether it was the Pirates earlier in this recent little run, or whether it was the Marlins in years past. He has no faith that they could beat all these easy teams left on the schedule, even though everybody keeps mentioning that that's what is next on their schedule. And I said, Lance, I was on your side 1,000 out of 1,000 times before this 8-game win streak. But this 8-game win streak was not fake and foolish. It was the best version of baseball we've seen out of the Phillies in 3 years. I never thought it was in them. I never, ever, ever, ever seen anything close to that where because I saw it, there was something in there. It wasn't a fugazi one because they beat the Mets and they beat the Nats and those teams aren't good. There was something to be said about the way they were playing, their swag, their power, the audacity by them to step out there and dominate the way they did. The Phillies did that. The Phillies did that. We've never seen that in 3 years. So go take care of business against the teams that you can beat. Will they? I don't know. But I feel better about it now after seeing those 8 games than I ever did before. Because before that, I was saying the same thing as Lance. I've seen them lose 2 or 3 to the Pirates. I've seen them lose to the Marlins. But now I can go back and say, well, I saw them dominate teams they should in a way we've never seen them do it before. So is there something to that? Possibly. All right, let's take a call here. This one might be in the bunch of the Game 2 Matt Moore situation.
Hey, Broads, watch that Saturday game and answer this question. Who is your everyday third baseman? There's only one answer I'd like to hear, a real exciting answer from you. Who is your third baseman after watching that game? He had 3 hits, home run, an excellent bunt. Who is he? Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, it's simple, baby. It's my everyday third baseman, Ronald Torres. It's funny because on Twitter, I'm obviously being sarcastic with it. I'm not. I mean, I do love him at third base, but it's by default. I don't want Ronald Torres to be your everyday third baseman for the future of your franchise. It's because I don't want Alec Boehm in there so much that Ronald Torres deserves to be out there. But because I'm so sarcastic and kind of jerk-off-ish about it on Twitter, there are some that don't recognize it and don't really, I guess, know who I am. So when they see that fly up on their feed, like, who's this idiot who thinks Ronald Torres is some stud third baseman? It's not about that. It's just I don't want Alec Boehm anywhere near my baseball team. That's what it is. That's the answer. I don't want Alec Boehm sniffing playing time because he's not good enough defensively and he destroys you. I don't want to hear about a nice double in the gap because that does not justify the decision of making so many boneheaded, simple, basic plays. It does not weigh one out. It just doesn't. So it's disappointing, but it's reality. I want to thank everybody so much for listening to this episode of Sports Talk with Broads. Off day on Monday, and we'll see what happens against the Arizona Diamondbacks starting Tuesday night. Thank you all so much, and I will see you next time.